1 Corinthians 15, verses 35 to 49. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh as one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body, and so it is written. The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. So far, the reading of God's word. Victoria, what questions does the person in verse 35 ask? That's right. So, Paul's been talking about bodily resurrection from the dead. Remember, there are people in the Corinthian church who, because they've not been having worship in which you have to do a lot of theology, where you have to do a lot of thinking, you know, 1 Corinthians 14, he's correcting them for that. He's saying we should worship in a way that doesn't focus on spectacular sensual experience, excitement of presentation, but we should worship in a way that is doctrinally exciting. The use of the mind and the actual interaction with the living God, which is very exciting, much more exciting than having an earthly exciting experience. So they hadn't been doing that in Corinth, so they had been having weaker and weaker theology because their worship didn't have a lot of theology. And as a result, there were people in the Corinthian church who didn't believe that they were going to rise from the dead. Now, Paul's been arguing with them or urging them, teaching them, yes, we are going to rise from the dead. And if we weren't going to rise from the dead, we would be the people most pitied. And now he says, now someone will say, in other words, he says, I've taught this before and I've heard the objections and here's one of the objections. What kind of body will we have? Apostle Paul, Pastor Paul, I know you're saying we're going to rise again from the dead and we're going to get our bodies back, but my body has been breaking down for a long time. It gets sick. It gets injured. In fact, it's about to expire altogether. And then it's going to decay and decompose. I don't think I want that body back. I've seen what happens to a corpse, a dead person's body after a few days. What kind of body am I going to get? And Paul says, what a foolish objection. He uses that word. That's so foolish. You ever put a seed in the ground? You ever put a seed in the ground to grow a plant? God decided that that seed would produce a plant that's very different than the seed itself. Now, a specific seed determines what kind of plant. But you don't put a kernel of corn in the ground in March and then go back out there in August or September or October and dig up that same kernel of corn and say, look, I got my kernel of corn back. What do you get out of the ground at the harvest? A kernel of corn? No, You go, and what do you find where you put the kernel of corn? A great big stalk with lots of ears on it and tassels and leaves and stems and green and life where it was dead before. Right? He says, don't you see that what comes out isn't anything like what went in? It was determined by what went in. Okay? So John's dead body that goes into the ground will determine that it's going to be a John resurrection body that comes out of the ground, and Beatrice's dead body that goes into the ground isn't going to produce a John resurrection body. Whose resurrection body is it going to produce? A Beatrice resurrection body. And same with everyone else. So we're not all going to get the same exact body, but we are going to get a body that is the same in glory as someone else's. Whose body will our resurrection body be like, Ezekiel? Who rose again from the dead? Jesus. That's right. And he is what the scripture calls the heavenly man. He says, don't you see the reason that you get sick and your body breaks down and eventually you're going to die and your body's going to decay? Is because that body is like Adam's body. The body that gets put into the earth is like the first Adam's body. Because we sinned in him and we fell in him and we died in him. And the wages of sin is death, and that's why our bodies are breaking down and they're going to die. But after the pattern of Adam body that goes into the ground, is that the kind of body that comes out of the ground? No. Who's the firstborn from among the dead, Ezekiel? Jesus is. The body that comes out of the ground, is it going to be patterned after Adam's body, Victoria? No. Whose body is it going to be patterned after, Krissa? Jesus' body. Now, does Jesus still have a real physical flesh and blood body in it? Yes, he bodily rose from the dead. Absolutely necessary part of Christian doctrine. There is a flesh and blood man sitting at the right hand of majesty in glory right now. That is an essential part of what we believe. So when it says that we're going to have a spiritual body like that from the last Adam who became a life-giving spirit and is the heavenly man, does it mean we're going to have a fake imaginary idea of a body? Does Jesus have a fake imaginary idea of a body? No. And so our bodies will be, when it says spiritual body, it means we'll have a body like his who is a life-giving spirit. Rather than having a body that is dying according to Adam's death, we're going to have a new body for a new earth and a new creation that lives according to Jesus' spirit. And according to the spirit of Christ who lives in us, he has given us his own Holy Spirit. And so he says, not only will our bodies be very different than what was put into the ground, they'll be unimaginably more glorious. Right? He says there are different glories. Was man's body glorious in a sense when he was first created? Yes. God created us with bodies that corresponded to our being made in his image. Not because God has a body, but because there were things about us, eyes and ears and mind and heart, and arms that functioned in a way that taught us things about God, that were part of our image of God, imaging God, not because they were physical, but because God designed us even physically to be able to interact and relate and do things in the way that God does things. So yes, our original bodies are magnificent. Look at the way that we consider the way that a baby is formed in the womb, and we say with Psalm 139, or we talk with Job about how marvelous is the work of God in putting together a human body. So yes, it's glorious to an extent, but it's nowhere near as glorious, is it, as the resurrection body of Jesus. And our bodies themselves are going to be glorious with his glory at the end. So a few things to make application here. Make good use of and take good care of the bodies that you have. As you get older, you guys aren't there yet, but as you get older, or even if the Lord should bring you sickness or injury during a season of your life, don't despair over it. Look forward to what it will be like to have a body that no longer gets sick and no longer gets injured. But seek to bring Jesus glory with what you do with your body. Your body belongs to Him now. It doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to the first Adam. It doesn't belong to the devil. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has bought you with His blood, who has joined you to Himself forever. And don't ever lose sight of the resurrection day when you receive that glorified body as the day on which everything that Jesus has earned for us is finally yours. It's okay to long for and groan towards that day. You already have many of the things that He's earned for you. If you believe in Him, you have His righteousness counted for you. You have forgiveness for your sins. There's no condemnation. You are united with Christ. You have His Spirit dwelling in you. You are adopted as a son or daughter of the Father and can call God your daddy. Yes, Ezekiel. All right, you may wait until we're done. I'm sure you can hold it until we're done. Okay, so you have all those things already. You're not yet made perfect in holiness. When are you going to get that? When are you going to be made perfect in holiness, John? Not even before that. When are you going to be made perfect in holiness, Beatrice? The souls of believers are at their death, made perfect in holiness. But even after you're made perfect in holiness, you still haven't received everything that Jesus deserves for you, have you? Because He deserves for us to have a glorified body like His. So don't ever lose sight of that resurrection day, the return of Christ, when we have been, our bodies went into the ground dishonorable and weak and corruptible. They're going to decay and become worm poo. Worms are going to eat it. Okay? Poo you out as dirt. And you're like, ew. Yeah, ew. But the Lord is going to take of the substance that went into the ground and He's going to form a resurrection body. Don't ever lose sight of that day as a day at which we finally have everything that Jesus has earned for us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, help us look forward to the resurrection day. Help us to live as those who are guaranteed something that can never be taken away. Forgive us for holding on to things that are going to decay and be taken away and vanish as if those are the permanent things. Lord, we're so short-sighted. Please help your foolish children, such as we are. And help us, we pray, yet to take good care of and make good use of everything that you have given us for your glory, whether it's our time, which is disappearing quickly, or our money, our property that we may not have for very long, these bodies whose strength and energy start to vanish so quickly. Help us, Lord, to see them as trusts from you and to serve you in them, to enjoy them as good gifts from you, so long as you maintain them to us. But, Lord, help us most of all to treasure you, whom we already have, and to look forward to the day when we have finally received all that Christ has earned for us. For we ask it in His name, and your children here say,
Amen.